Hi, I'm Emma.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jess.
There's lots of things we don't understand.
And things people don't want to discuss.
But we do, and we hope you do too.
So, if no one's going to talk about it,
let's talk about it.
And this week we're talking about daylight savings.
We need light in the morning to help our metabolism and our sleep and our mood. It's like, there's a horse in the hospital! And it's like,
I'm infected with can't be bothered syndrome.
You know, what's £8 versus me feeling safe?
We've been away for a little bit.
We've had a lovely week off.
We have. Well, it's been a busy week, I'd say. How are you guys feeling? You guys feeling refreshed?
No. I was, and then we came back to uni, and now I'm
You're not feeling refreshed.
Need another week off.
No.
Let's make it every other week.
I feel like...
It's a reading week.
Have you seen this thing on TikTok where it's like, everyone has an October canon event where something goes, like, horrifically wrong?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't... Yeah, no, I didn't avoid it this year. I thought I did. I was like, what was it? I remember
I feel like we've all been hit by it. But anyway, busy 2 weeks while we've been away. Obviously... Like 2 days ago, I was under the assumption, I was under the hope that next week we'd be talking about like feminist leadership in reference to a groundbreaking electoral result of the first female president of the United States of America in the fall. I was getting my hopes
the
up again.
The fall we all were.
The fall we all were. I mean, lots of people were kind of saying like, oh, this is how I saw it going all the time. And I was kind of like, I think it's going to be close, but it wasn't quite what I was necessarily expecting. But. Yeah. I don't know.
I almost feel like a fool for thinking that she was going to win.
Yeah. Well, you know? I was not going to stay up because I knew how long it took them to count last time.
Yeah.
So I like was like, okay, I'll go to bed and I'll wake up early and then it will be throughout the next day. And I woke up, checked my phone, the first thing I saw, Donald Trump won Pennsylvania, and I was like, oh my God.
All the swing states that I saw, it was like every swing state. I was like, oh.
It was like, and another one. And I was like, oh no.
When I woke up, he was on 266 and then Kamala was on like 180. I was like, oh God. But then throughout the morning, she was going up and he was staying put. So I was like, hopeful. I was like, oh, she's going to win. She's going to win. And then she lost. Oh.
But yeah, there's a lot of feelings. Like, I have a lot of feelings. I'm sure we all have a lot of feelings. It's something that we think we're going to dive into a lot more next week. Going to try and focus on it next week.
We need time to digest it, gather
our thoughts. But we'd love to hear from you. So if you do have thoughts, feelings, just need to rant, then go to our DMs at Talking About It Pod. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe we can use a couple of them in our episode next week.
Yeah. But anyway, cast our minds back a little bit before all this week's drama has happened in the news. Before that, TikTok was more focused on this clip that was circulating around the internet of Saoirse Ronan on The Graham Norton Show with Paul Mescal and Eddie Redmayne, I believe. I feel like everyone has seen it at this point.
Yeah.
If you haven't, Eddie Redmayne was talking about like some sort of stunt training he did for like a movie or something about like self-defense techniques and how you can use the butt of your phone to jab someone in the chin as like self-defense. And him and Paul Mescal are like joking about it, and we'll play it. I'll let you listen to it. And I played it from the end of the clip. Okay, I might add this in post anyway, but just so we can hear it.
Find some of the techniques though that you learned, like some of the things Paul taught us is how you can use how you can use your phone if someone's attacking you, the butt of your phone to go over the neck.
Who's actually going to think about that, though? If someone attacks me, I'm not going to go, phone.
I agree.
You hang on a second.
That's a very good point.
I like
that's
the
what girls have to think about all the time.
Yeah.
Am I right, ladies?
So that was everywhere.
Yeah.
I feel like that's fair to say. Just because I think people saw it as like a lot of women latched onto it. It's like, this is so telling of what we've been trying to tell you for so long about like women's safety.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys' thoughts were.
It's the way she tried to speak before. And then they just kept talking over her and she's like, and then she speaks and actually shuts them up. And Paul Mescal is like, oh.
The silence is so loud.
Yeah. Like there's a second before everyone starts clapping and she says like, am I right, ladies, and whatever. And in that moment, everyone is silent. And it's like, it's the moment where, and we've kind of spoken about it on different episodes, and it's like the feminist, like, killjoy moment where it's like, everyone's like, having a joke. And it's like, I'm going to actually, really sorry, take it back to real life moments. And there's a moment where it's awkward. And then you get this big applause and you're like, actually, yeah. Yeah. Like, that's exactly what needed to be said in that moment.
But it's... So if you actually watch the video online, I mean, it's very easy to find. But the second Paul Mescal sort of starts joking about it, going like, who actually thinks about that? You can see Saoirse Ronan's face. She's like, I don't think about that. Like, yeah. We all think about that.
Yeah.
And it's just... You see two minds working. You see that mind of like, that's ridiculous. It's kind of like, this is funny. And then you see her immediately. She's going to like me every day, all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's why so many women have resonated with it, because it's just so like, that's why, like, because a lot of men walk around and be like, you know, think we've got equal rights and feminism's reached its end and all that kind of thing. And it's like, no, this is the stuff we actually mean. And when we ask you to pay attention and consider it, that's what we mean. It's not that you're like actively hating women. It's that those little things you don't necessarily think about, such as using the butt of your phone as an attacking tool.
Yeah. And this kind of like self-defense like techniques, I think we've been thinking about them more, or I know that at least I have, because it's been getting darker earlier because of the wonders that is daylight savings. And so there's even less time in the day that I'm walking about that I feel like, oh, it's light enough for me to walk around without thinking that I need to have some kind of plan if something was to like happen. And yeah, that's, so it's like even more prevalent in kind of day to day than before.
Yeah.
I think
that's why I wanted to talk about it, because that clip surfaced sort of around the week where the clocks went back, which was it back or forward? Forward?
They
back?
They went forward. Yeah. So they went
would
back.
Would be so good for me to know that on an episode when we're talking about
it. Yeah.
We've had an extra hour's sleep, so.
Yeah, backward. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God, I'm confused. Yes.
It was 1 a.m., and then when it was supposed to hit 2 a.m., it
that
hit 1 a.m. again.
That happened the same week. This clip went everywhere. And I said, I was joking about this the other day, like, it happens every single year, the clocks go back and we have less daylight, but every single year I go like, oh my God, it's dark at 4 p.m. and it shocks me every year, even though it could not be more predictable, because it's literally, I've never had a life
they
where
literally
that's,
tell you
literally
when it's
going to be so in advance now every year, but I'm still in shock.
You forget how much it affects you as well.
Yeah.
And like the other day we'd gone to Greg's and it was probably like 4 o'clock, and I was walking through campus with this Greg's, and there was like, you know, the shortcut on East where there's the and this man like dressed in all black, he was like stood by the swing set. And I was like, okay, weird. Just by himself, like, old man. And then just, like, he sees us coming, so he starts, like, walking to leave. He, like, walks toward... And I'm like, if I was by myself, I actually would have thought I was getting killed. And you know when people, like... Usually when you walk past someone, you give them, like, a smile, or it's like, you know, I'm not going to kill you, smile.
Yeah.
But it's like, actually, that could have been
nothing. So before we dive into actually like the women's safety behind it, maybe we should dive a little bit more into like what daylight savings is, what's going on, why it's happening.
So daylight savings, like we said, it's when the clocks go back 1 hour. We established that. It took us a little bit, but we got there. It happened on the 27th of October, which was like 2 weeks ago. A lot of people sort of debate as to why we do it. Some people think it's because it's like it gives farmers more daylight to work on the land. Another source was saying that it was actually brought in to save energy during the war. I don't quite know how, but I'm sure if I thought about it for a bit longer, I might be able to figure that out.
I heard it was something to do with like night shifts as well.
Yeah, various
but
things.
But I don't know how that would work right now, because the nights are longer, aren't they?
Yeah, I guess the spring forward part would work for saving energy and stuff, but I don't know about.
I've heard
sure.
bits as well about, like, I mean, obviously, for the day-to-day life we all have now, it makes it so the hours that you're working, your 9 to 5, are mostly in the light. Like, you commute to work in the light if you're getting somewhere for 9 a.m. The issue is that the sun will begin to set at, like, 3:30. So then you're always leaving work in the dark.
And it's depressing.
It is depressing.
It's so depressing.
It's horrid. But there was a thing I did see someone talking about it. I think it was Ruby Granger. It was Ruby, Conversation with Ruby on TikTok. I can't remember her last name, but she was talking about it. And she was sort of saying about how, like, the daylight saving saves it so that kids will always go home in the light. Because if you finish school at 3, you're always sort of going home at light. So you're, like, children are still at school in the day. But everyone else, like, adult work schedules obviously doesn't fall on that. But there's a lot of debate as to whether or not we should actually do it. And I don't really know this. Some states don't do it. Some countries don't do it. There's one state in America, I think you were saying, that doesn't do it. Yeah, so people pick and choose a little bit. And there's a whole debate around it because light is really important to our health, our well-being, everything. We need light in the morning to help our metabolism and our sleep and our mood. And that all helps drive our circadian rhythm and our body clocks and all that good stuff. So sometimes daylight savings can mess about with that a bit, which is probably why we all get a bit drowsy and, like, moody.
Because isn't there a, like, the SAD disorder?
Seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah, seasonal depression,
I mean,
and things like that.
It's no coincidence that it's, you know, more people are depressed when it's dark. Because, I mean, you get home from uni and it's, like, 5. In summer, you've got the whole rest of the evening. But I've literally been finding myself getting back and I'm, like, I'm tired and ready for bed because it's dark outside. I don't want to do anything.
Mm-hmm. I found myself, like, I'm waking up. I wake up around 7, I know, early.
No, so, same though, because I have so many 9 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. Because I have almost a 9 a.m. every day. So I'm always, like, consistently waking up at 7. It's still, like, a little bit dark outside. Mm-hmm. So I'm waking up in the dark. I'm coming home in the dark. I'd never really felt like seasonal depression or whatever you want to call it before last year, and then last year I did actually feel like it had a real effect on my mood in the winter months, especially
at uni. I think
especially at uni,
I struggled with it a lot when I started uni, because it is like you go to like your classes and stuff, but there's no like, and in a, if you're in a space you don't know as well, like when I first moved to uni I didn't know York at all and never been to a city, so it's like, well, I don't really want to go explore somewhere I don't know in the dark. That's terrifying.
Yeah,
but I
went to a ghost walk and it's like,
yeah, no. But I found this year I'm working from home this year, so like when I started doing that in like September, October time, normal days I'd sit 9 to 5 at my desk in my house, so I'm not leaving the house, but then I've got the whole evening to go for a run, go for a cycle, go out and about, go to like see some friends, go do this, that, the other, whatever, even if it's just getting out for a walk, because I found that like going outside is really, really helpful in all aspects of everything. The problem is now, I've got a block nose, sorry. The problem is now, if I sit at my desk 9 to 5 in my own house, by the time it gets to 5, I don't want to go wandering, especially on my own. Yeah. And then it's like I have to rely on like plans and other people to go get fresh air. And I don't know. It's just, I'm now thinking about it so much more, about planning my life around the sun.
Yeah, and it's cold as well. So why would you want to go outside in the dark, in the cold? You spend like double the amount of time inside. I think I've like, when I've come back and I would maybe like go for, like if I need something from Sainsbury's around the corner, I might be like, oh, it's dark and cold, I don't want to go. It's ridiculous. 5 minute walk to the shops.
Yeah,
can't be bothered. I'm infected with can't be bothered syndrome. My grandma calls it CBB. To be polite about
Oh my god, that's the thing. I think everyone struggles with that. But then I think the thing that we want to talk about, and the thing that Saoirse Ronan clip just demonstrates perfectly, is how it adds. And we chatted about it in our last episode with Becca Benzie about like the extra mental labour that women have to do on a day-to-day basis just to exist and to exist comfortably.
Safely.
This is one of those things, because as soon as those clocks go back, our lives have to be completely restructured because we don't feel safe in the dark. And that's not just me saying it. There was a recent government data came out in 2021. I think, Emma, you've got it in front of you.
Yeah, that 1 in 2 women feel unsafe walking alone after dark in a quiet street near home, compared to 1 in 7 men that feel that way. And 1 in 2 women feel unsafe walking in a busy public space after dark, compared to 1 in 5 men. So I mean, everyone feels a little bit unsafe, but disproportionately women are feeling like very unsafe after dark,
and it makes no difference as to where they are.
No,
so it's not a case of it's just women in cities or it's just women like in their local area. Even walking around like near my house, I don't feel safe.
I think if I was to be at home, like on my estate at home, I'd feel different to if I was, although I'd still freak myself out like walking past like the big park and stuff. But imagine, we live in York, imagine living in like Manchester.
That's scary
as it is. And then in the dark as well.
Yeah, and we've also got a statistic that 2 in 3 women aged 16 to 34 have experienced one form of harassment in the past 12 months. And I think, is that after dark as well? Or is that
just in general?
Just in general.
But then that's what the fear is, isn't it? It's not an unfounded fear.
Yeah.
The dark gives, like, for all crime, obviously, dark gives you a bit of cover to do anything, and that's the truth in everything. That's why we sort of fear it. And if, especially if no one's around to see it, who's going to see if someone touches you or tries to grab you or whatever? And it's like, you might be thinking worst case scenario, call us paranoid, but those worst case scenarios do happen. We see them in the news all the time. And if the little things are happening to you, like that many women harassment day to day, what's the odds you're not going to be one of those?
Yeah, literally one in two.
Yeah.
Half of women.
Yeah.
I mean, I get, like, paranoid on a good day. And then in the dark, you know when you freak yourself out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was home alone, and it's a semi-detached house, so you can hear the next door, like, all the time. But it's I freak myself out, and then in the dark, it's, like, a shadow, and it's like, oh, someone's following me, even though they're not. But then when there is someone there, it makes it doubly
terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, when daylight savings just happened, I finished work and I do the little walk, and there's like a little route that I run sometimes around home, and I just went to walk it and run it a little bit, like just chill, casual, not that deep. And I set off and it was light and the sun started to set as I went onto this cycle path around the back of my house where there's no street lights, it's all covered in trees.
I hate those.
And as soon as I got on that path, I was like, I feel unsafe. Even though it was like 4 p.m. and I was like, I was like speed walking home, like, oh my god. You're tempted to like call someone, which is ridiculous. And it's like, well, now I can't take myself out and about without feeling like I have to
have a chaperone.
But obviously this clip went viral, and absolutely everyone, women everywhere, were praising Saoirse Ronan for like saying something and not letting it slide and making these men think about what they were saying. She later said that she was having a chat, I can't remember exactly what, I'm trying to read it now. She was having a conversation with some of the women about it, talking about like, oh yeah, you know that thing you do, the fake phone conversation. And one of her friend's husbands went like, what do you mean? And she was like, the fake phone call you do to feel safe. And I was like, no, yeah, absolutely.
And that also got picked up by TikTok. Was anyone on TikTok when that kind of someone talked about the fake phone conversation? And then I think, like, I might be completely wrong, but I think it started with a woman genuinely doing the other half of the phone call. And like it started and it started as like a nice, like, if you feel unsafe, play this. This is some, like, they're gonna hear someone else on the end of the phone, so you don't just have to be like, yeah, totally, I'm on my way home now. And then, but then men took it and men made it weird and creepy.
Like a joke.
And a joke, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember there was the one that was like nice and genuine, and like if you ask it, and then there was just, they were just being horrible. Like it was like really, not really making fun at something that some people genuinely do on a daily basis, just because you've never had to experience something.
Yeah,
doesn't mean it doesn't affect people. Doesn't mean you can make fun of it.
No, the thing that frustrates me about it all the time is like your battle between your safety and your independence. So it's like I feel like I'm losing bits of my independence when I feel unsafe to do what my male counterparts can do, or when I'd feel safer calling my brother or calling my boyfriend or like being with someone male to feel less unsafe.
Yeah, I agree. No, it's annoying because I also revert to, and like, I guess that it's nice that I obviously want to call my boyfriend when I feel unsafe, like that can be a nice thing, but I do revert to calling my boyfriend over my sisters or my friends, and I think that's interesting that as well, that it's like, oh, if it's a man's voice on the other side of the phone, he'll do something about it.
Like, it's just crazy because no one can hear the other
side literally
of the phone.
And but I don't know,
there is stuff in it because like obviously this is the emotional labor we have to do, we all come up with these techniques, and that's exactly what they're talking about in the clip, that like self-defense thing of chucking your phone in someone's face as defense. We all come up with these little strategies in our head all the time when you're walking home, the keys between the knuckles.
Yeah,
I always grip my phone really aggressively because you can knock someone with it, or the phones are getting bigger and bigger and my hands can't quite and that's kind of annoying as well. That's a whole different problem about how the world is made for men, but that is like problem number two. Stuff like that, the fake phone call. A lot of women also have other things where it's like, if you live home alone, when you get into your home, when you get to, especially if you live in flats, when you get to your flat, don't turn your lights on immediately, because if someone was following you, they'd know which flat was yours, because you've just gone in and turned the light on. Women that live alone will leave a pair of men's boots outside their door, because then if they go in and they have been followed, it looks like they live at home with a boyfriend or someone who's large and a man, because there's men's boots outside.
I've literally never thought about that, but that is also... Yeah. It's like when Beck said a couple episodes ago, don't wear a ponytail if you're like out on a run or something, because it can be grabbed. Never thought of that either.
I used to struggle a lot with car parks when I first learned to drive, because I was one of the only ones
especially multi-storey car parks.
But basically, because I grew up, I'm from Lincolnshire, so I'm from the countryside, so it's all quiet, that like dark open spaces, and I was one of the first to learn to drive, and I used to drive to Boston a lot, which is like one of my local towns. Big car park there that I'd park in, and at night when I'd finished theatre or when I'd finished seeing like one of my friends or something, I'd have to walk back through this car park on my own, and like even if it's like 5-6 p.m. I'm like, it's dark, there's no one around, and like I don't know, it just feels like it's terrifying.
Every scary film has a car park.
Yeah,
so
well, do you
as well?
I feel the same, mm-hmm. and even now, even when I'm parked on campus, I unlock my car when I'm at my car. Don't unlock it before I get there, because someone could get in. And then as soon as I'm in, if I'm really feeling not okay, I lock myself in my car.
As soon as you get there.
I was explaining this the other day, because we went to Leeds to watch a concert, and like Solomon was unlocking his car from like half, just try and find it, and I was like, mate, stop,
don't do that.
And like similarly, we were walking through, and I've always like, if you don't know where you're going, I'll look at the directions and then put my phone away, because I'm like terrified of people not knowing where I'm going, like not knowing that I don't know where I'm going, because you have to,
I feel like if you look like you don't know where you're going in like a big city,
more vulnerable.
Then, yeah, I don't definitely want to be stood staring at Google Maps.
But my my car has a feature on it, basically, where when I unlock it, it only unlocks the driver's side door.
Oh, that's good.
And every time I give anyone male a lift, they go to open their passenger door and they go like, that's a stupid feature. They go like, what? I'm like, in my head,
that.
I'm like, no, it's
I
great.
Want that
so I shuffle
that.
Over
I
to my car,
that.
Get straight to my driver's door, unlock it. It only locks my door. Get in, slide in, lock it. And you can't get into any other doors
Does
without me.
The button on, so I used to just go over to my car, press the button, and it just opens the door that
On the driver's side. So that's what I get in very quickly if I'm on my own, because I saw other things. It's stuff like, you just worry like, what if there's someone under my car that could like hurt me or grab me or like
freak myself out.
There was a thing a couple years ago, I think, on the internet that I saw, and I don't know how true it was, and I can't remember like any details other than women were finding like stuffed animals on their cars. Like they'd leave and they'd come back and there'd be like a little teddy on the front of their cars, and someone was waiting under their car, and when they went to take it off, there was some like terrifying. But also on the side of like cars though, I drive into uni now almost every day. I don't have a parking permit. I do have to pay.
Oh my god, that's costing you an arm and a leg.
Yeah,
but I finish usually on West Campus, and the bus that takes me back home is on East Campus and doesn't stop at West. So I either have to walk all the way back to East Campus, walk home, or get an Uber when I finish at uni. So I would rather pay like £8 a day to park on campus all day, so I can get myself home in a way that I feel safe and quick. Rather than having to walk back all the way home in the dark, having to walk back to East Campus and then get a bus back. Buses are scary as well in the evening. Like,
it's a long way back, like to your house. As
yeah,
well.
So it would be a 40-minute walk in the dark. And that's taken a real toll on my bank account at the minute. But you know, what's £8 versus me feeling safe?
Yeah, but speaking of car parks, have you guys seen Woman of the Hour?
Not yet, but
Anna
I really
Kendrick.
Want to.
So
I really want to.
I won't spoil it. Basically,
this is true, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's about it was called like the Dating Show Killer or something. It was a serial killer. He used to lure women in by telling them they were pretty, and he wanted to photograph them for like a photography competition. He was an aspiring photographer, and then he'd like rape and murder. But anyway, he appeared on a dating show. You know those dating shows where it's like the mystery man and like bachelor number one, what do you think, you know, all that kind of stuff. But Anna Kendrick was cast in it, then the director dropped out and she was like, I think I can direct this, and she pitched herself to direct it, and it was so brilliantly done. I watched it and I was absolutely absorbed in it, because she's done such a good job at making it about the women and not about him. It's not glorifying him, because a lot of true crime can lead into like glorifying these rapists, let's be honest.
Jeffrey Dahmer
It's like, obviously,
and anything with Ted Bundy,
people get very fascinated by the psychology of a serial killer, and I understand that, because how do you become that person, but it sort of leads them to be these like known names in history and these known faces in history for like, I don't know, their charisma that they use that helped them get there and all that kind of stuff. But it's so well done to focus on the women. And there's a really great scene in it in a car park where she's been on this date with this guy and he's the, you know, killer. And she starts to clock there's something dodgy about him and she's trying to get away. And she's going to walk back to her car in this car park and he starts to follow her and she's going like, shit, shit, shit. And you can see it. She doesn't want to break into a run because she knows he can outrun her.
Yeah.
She's like, sprint walking back to her car without looking like she's scared of him, but he's like following her in the dark behind it. You can see it. And she said in interviews previously that male directors on set were sort of saying, we need to up the ante because this is like the peak of the film. We need to up the stakes in this scene. We need to up the stakes. She was like, no, this is scary enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so many women since have said like, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that did it.
For like sticking with it as well. Yeah. Like, I think that would be really hard to like keep her idea and her feelings like as it, like not be trodden all over by all the other people being like, you need to make this. Because also scarier. It becomes unrealistic.
Yeah. I think it doesn't need to be glorified into a big horror scene because it's a real fear that we all have. It's
and it's a real
into.
Story. Like, yeah. this is what happened. Like, obviously, creative licensing, but at the end of the day, that is a reality. Mm-hmm. And so portraying it in that way is really powerful.
Do you remember last year, did you go and see the like local theatre company that came in? There was like three women that did monologues, or four women.
Yes.
And they were all based off real things that happened in York.
Yeah.
It was like...
That was scary.
Was it Next Door But One?
Next Door But One is the theatre company.
They were just all like having... I keep getting distracted.
Oh, She Was Walking Home was the name of the piece.
Yeah.
She Was Walking Home.
And there was like people from like school kids to like old women who got like grabbed on the boob by a teenager, and they're all real stories. And it was like a bit frightening because you think that nothing's ever nothing's going to ever happen in York because it's York, but obviously things do. And the same with like Bluebeard that we saw. That was a really good play. And then at the end, it's like all these true stories of literally just a woman walking home, and they like show CCTV, and it's just she's being followed, and it seems subtle, but it's really powerful because it's like real. Obviously, the CCTV footage in the play was fake, but it very could have been real, and the other stories were 100% real, which is terrifying.
So I think, you know, we've said some personal anecdotes, we've spoken about why we feel like, you know, daylight savings has had this effect, and kind of just general women's safety in the dark. But I think the reason that we wanted to talk about this is kind of just to shed light on the situation, if you pardon my phrasing.
Absolutely genius.
But just to like bring awareness to it, because, you know, you might be a Paul Mescal or an Eddie Redmayne in this situation and kind of not completely get why it's important. And so just bringing awareness to that, I think.
I mean, it's hard because we can't sit here and be like, here is a direct path to making all women feel safe on nights out and stopping violence against women and girls. Because that's
not our thing to solve.
I don't know how to solve that, really. All I can say that would probably improve it is these conversations, raising awareness about it. And it's not about like accusing all men of being dangerous, but it's saying there's a spectrum of men. And if you're not like actively considering all these things and your part you may play in it, even if it's like your friend's making a joke about something that's kind of distasteful and kind of going like, that's not really funny, because like they were joking about it, they didn't mean harm in that clip when they're joking about like, who would even think about that, ha ha ha. But Saoirse Ronan having the guts to sit there and be like, I do, has made them think.
Yeah.
And they'll think about that now. As soon as someone tells them like a self-defense tip and they go like, oh, that's stupid, they'll go like, oh, wait, no, actually.
Especially because they've been embarrassed on live online.
Yeah.
National
but even
TV.
If you were just embarrassed in front of your peers, or not even embarrassed, just like called out a little bit, it doesn't mean that they're terrible people. It doesn't mean that they're like the perpetrators of this violence. I don't know them, you know, but like, because they haven't thought about it in that way, they made that assumption that it was a silly fun thing.
Yeah.
It's not a silly fun thing, it's a terrifying real thing for so many people. So it's just stuff like that. You don't have to be powerless, you can be powerful in language and being careful what you say and watching what other people say about, you know, jokes about grabbing women or like women. I don't know why you'd joke about grabbing a woman, but people do. Certain world leaders do. But
and that's a conversation for next week.
You know, in this time, in in this time that we live in, where so many people get away with that kind of language, just have a minute. Have a minute for the women in your life who are now bending over backwards to try and accommodate their schedules into fit into the reduced daylight. And just don't make them feel unsafe if you can. I don't know. It's hard to solve.
Yeah, cancel daylight savings.
Cancel daylight
Nobody likes it.
No.
Homework for this week is just if you hear your friend or someone, call it out. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, call someone out. Be Saoirse Ronan. Be, like, don't be afraid to call someone out, whether they're your friend or whether they're just someone that you know. And, yeah, be careful. Be careful out there.
Yeah. And if you see something happening on the street, obviously,
oh my God, yeah.
That's the thing. As a woman, I always feel a bit unsafe intervening in any situation in the dark because it's like, well, I don't know how that's going to end for me. But if you feel safer being out and about on your own in public, as you know, I know not all men feel safe, but a lot of them do, call it out. Help people out. Like, let's just be compassionate and kind. Like, you wish you could be. But I just think. To the girlies, that fear and that like exhaustion through trying to manage your life around that fear, you're not alone in that. We're all in this together. You know, help your girls out.
We're right there with you.
We're right there with you, and we have to band together in this time, in this global climate.
Anyway,
but we'll get there next week.
It'll be okay. We'd love to hear your opinions, so go over to our Instagram. It's at Talking About It Pod. Send us a DM what you think. Have you had any personal experiences? Have daylight savings affected you? We'll probably put something up on the story as well. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, there'll probably be a little poll. So let us know your opinion. And yeah, tune in next week when we're probably going to be discussing the next president of the United States.
The elephant in the room.
The
elephant in the White House. Oh. Isn't that the clip of John Mulaney that's like, there's a horse in the hospital? And it's like about, oh, it's really funny. Go fast. Sorry, love it. It's like an analogy of, anyway, we'll get there.
And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.